Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 185, stanzas 3 through 6. Because thy mercy, Lord, is good, O answer me in grace, and in the riches of thy love, O turn to me thy face. 185, stanzas 3 through 6. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, in the 24th chapter, the first 12 verses. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 24, 1 through 12. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto him, Why seek ye? And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And so far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-sufficient, all-decreeing God, all-providing One, we try to draw nigh to Thee when Thou hast provided that we may come to Thy house in this morning, and when we may consider in this hour and that provision which Thou hast made for Thy people, despite all their own ignorance and all their own sin, all their own unworthiness, all their own backwardness, and that Thou didst yet carry through with Thy own work for the salvation of Thy people. And it is in the interest of Thee as the triune God, for Thou wilt magnify Thyself to all eternity in the redemption of Thy church, who has sinned and fallen away from Thee in their father Adam, in whom that they have transgressed. But Thou hast Thyself again taken them as Thy children, and as that second Adam, Thou hast brought them back to restore them into that place where they had never expected to come again. And so we may commemorate in this morning hour, when we are gathered in this day, to commemorate this special Sabbath day, which will be commemorated even unto the end of this world, a day wherein the victory was shown to be Thine, a day wherein Thy church was delivered from all the power of the prince of darkness, a day wherein death had to let go of its prey, a day wherein the foundation is laid for the resurrection of Thy church, and that they may be born again. A day wherein the first fruits have arisen, which will be followed by a manifold resurrection from the dead, both from that spiritual death which a man has experienced in the deep fall, and from that temporal death, and that will be experienced by each and every one of us, and from that eternal death, that Thy children have also made themselves worthy of, so that Thou hast taken away that death in its threefold terror, that Thou hast given that threefold life unto Thy people. But Thou knowest how that it is, that so often that life that seems to be nothing but death, Thou knowest how that the people go over this world, when Thou hast arisen them from the dead, when the earth does cleave unto them and they do cleave unto the earth, that they have to feel continually that they are of the earth, earthy, that they are carnal creatures. And when thou wilt not give the liveliness of thy spirit, then all shall lay under the ashes, so that it can seem like there was never life at all. Oh, then it seems that everything goes in that way of death, and so it was, even for thy own disciples, whom thou hadst called even unto that new life, that thou hadst called even to bring the word of life in this world. Then everything from their own side had to go so through a way of death. All thou knowest where thy children are. Oh, could it please thee, Lord of life and glory, that thou mayst so visit thy people in this day, that they may experience something of what that life is in its renewal, and that the hungerings and the thirstings may be renewed again, that the spirit of life may be revived, that the desires may again go out unto the true and the living God, and that the Son of God who has risen from the dead may become indeed their portion. Oh, that their heart may also go out after him, that they may leave behind them that way of sin and death, and that they may leave behind them that law that has become death unto them, that broken covenant which also is lying so dead, because of the weakness of the flesh of thy people, that it is not able to give any more that life that it did promise. Oh, that that people may be given eyes to see, for the first time or by renewal, how dead that it is. Oh, that they may be given to see something of that new and that living way that thou hast made in thine only begotten Son. Oh, that their eyes may be going open unto the satisfaction that he has wrought also in the eye of the justice of his Father. Oh, that that people may receive that blessed comfort of that true resurrection morning. Oh, look then upon each and every one of thy children. Do lead them further in those blessed steps, wherein their soul may receive comfort already in this life, and where they may be given that blessed assurance of the forgiveness of all of their iniquities, and that may they may be able to say that the Lord, he is my God. Oh, that they may be given to know that blessed reconciliation, and that adoption of children that is so comforting to their soul not only, but that is so to the glory of the God of heaven and of earth, and of the Son of God and the Spirit of God, that will be experienced by a little moment here in this Meshach of this wilderness, and that will be experienced in its fullness and in its completeness, in that never-ending eternity. Oh, that thou may visit us then in this morning hour, and in this day, in thy Sabbath day. Oh, could it please thee to give us a little taste of that eternal Sabbath this day, because there is a rest that remaineth unto the people of the Lord. Oh, give them to taste a little then of that rest and of that peace that passes all understanding, of which this great event does speak in this morning hour. Lord, we beseech it of thee. Oh, take not thy Holy Spirit away from us, as we so justly deserve because of all our sins and because of all our cleaving to that which is death and vanity in this world. But, oh, that thou may be, give, that the Spirit may revive that life that is planted. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, that has life and peace. Do it then for thy name's sake. Lord, give new ones, new ones that may experience that life,
that may receive the fruit of that resurrection of thy dear Son in their soul. Could it please thee in this day, as thou hast brought him forth from that natural grave, that thou may bring forth young and old together out of that spiritual grave, that they may be resurrected from the dead in this morning, and when the Spirit may speak through our mouth out of thy holy word, that the power of that Spirit may be evident, may be experienced. Look upon all that are afflicted and sick, those that may not be able to be with us in this morning. And wilt thou give health and strength unto them again, widows, widowers, and orphans, and all the afflicted and handicapped, and all that have sorrows known unto thee. And wilt thou supply for the needs and the cares that are in this world that have come upon us with our children, and because of all our iniquity, and that they may lead us also to thy blessed footstool. Wilt thou look upon those that are in the hospitals, also that young friend from the midst of us, bring her safely also again unto her parents in due time. And wilt thou make all things well? Wilt thou look upon all thy truly sent servants this day over the length and breadth of this world, when they may speak of this wonder? O Lord, that thou may open our eyes, that thou may give the unction of thy Holy Spirit, that thou may give new ones also, that may be called to bring this word, as thou didst arise from the dead, and that thou didst send forth thy disciples to preach that everlasting gospel. That thou may so do so in the midst of us as a denomination also, for the congregations and for the mission fields, that thou may gladden us by all of thy deeds. Do keep us from all iniquity and sin in this morning, in thought, word, and in deed. Keep us from all drowsiness. Chase out the buyers and the sellers. And do for us what we cannot do and do not deserve for ourselves. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 112, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Withhold not thou thy grace from me. O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show, and thy truth and be still my stay. Let them preserve me where I go, and keep me every day. We make the following announcements. Mr. and Mrs. Peter Suchland, who attend our Calgary branch, wish to be reinstated as members of our congregation. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory before our April 13th consistory meeting. The Holy Sacrament of Baptism is scheduled for Sunday, April the 18th, at the afternoon service. Please register with the consistory at the meeting of Tuesday, April 13, at 7:30 p.m. The last collection today is for our school, 112, 2 through 4. congregation, King Solomon, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, did speak and say that where the word of a king is, there is power. And so it may be known and experienced in this world, if we read in the book of Esther, and then we read of two times in a special way that the king did speak. We read, and the letters were sent by posts unto all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. And the posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and a decree was given in Shushan the palace, the word of the king. Now where the word of a king is, there is power. He had only to speak, and there was a very great effect. Because we read, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. And in every province whithersoever the commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and feasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Where the word of a king is, there is power. We read that this king speaks again. He speaks a second time. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, and may no man reverse. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace, the word of a king. And where the word of a king is, there is power. And the effect of that word that has been felt, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a good day. Where the word of a king is, there is power. First, it was the word of death, and that had power. And that second word, that was the word of life, and that also had power. And then we read that there was a special day that was set aside that they may commemorate that second speaking of the king. Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning unto a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy and of sending portions the one to another and gifts to the poor. Thus a day a day set aside that they may commemorate even, and they do that to this day, even to this day, the second command of that king, wherein the Jews, they received rest and joy and gladness. Easter, that is also such a day. Easter is now the day wherein that second command of the king that is coming forth. And that is a day which we commemorate. How often, children? How often do we commemorate Easter? We do that every week. Every week. Even unto the end of the world. Because the Sabbath day, that is no longer on the Saturday, but the Sabbath day, that is now on the Sunday. And that is now the commemoration of that joy and of that gladness. And this we wish to speak of in a special way in this morning with the Lord's help out of Luke 24 and the second verse. Luke 24, verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. So far, the words of our text. The meaning of Easter expressed in a stone rolled away. First, the meaning of the placing of that stone. And second, the meaning of that stone rolled away. The meaning of Easter expressed in the stone rolled away. First, the meaning of the placing of that stone. And second, the meaning of that stone rolled away. It is congregation early in the morning. The sun that is just about to rise. And we see three women. They are walking together in the darkness. Who are these women? And what are these women doing up so early in the morning? We read their names. One is Mary Magdalene. The other is Mary, the mother of James. And the other is Salome. These are intimate friends. These are soul friends. Do you have a friend? Do you have a soul friend? With a soul friend, then you speak about the matters of your soul. Or do you not have a soul? Or do you not realize that you have a soul? And may you speak to no one about the matters of your soul? And if you have no freedom to speak unto men concerning the need of your soul, may you ever speak unto the Lord concerning the need of your soul. We have here three friends, and they are soul friends, and they are very, very sad. Where are they going? They're going to the grave. They're going to pay their last respects. They're going to do the last deed of love that they can possibly do unto their friend. Their friend who has departed out of this life. Now they are going to take care of his body, which was so hurriedly buried that it was not able to be properly taken care of in that burial. Their grief does not suffer them to think very clearly. That love that is burning in their heart. And yet they have seen something 3 days ago which they are not thinking of anymore at this moment. We read, and then Joseph had taken the body. He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher, a great stone that is rolled to the door of this sepulcher. Were you ever congregation standing at a graveside? Then if we would stand there long enough, which is not so typically seen in our day, but when we would stand there long enough, then we would see that on top of the coffin and that has been laid in the ground, that there is a very great stone, a very heavy concrete lid that is placed on the top of that box wherein that coffin is lowered. Death, that is such an awful thing. Why is a congregation that we have to die? Death is a punishment. What is that? What is a punishment? Punishment is the laying of a penalty upon a person when that person has disobeyed, when he has done what was wrong, when he has done what was against the law, and he receives a penalty, a punishment. You and I are created moral creatures. We're created creatures that have to obey the moral law. Creatures that have a capacity for right and for wrong. That is not true of the animals. The animals do not know right from wrong. The animals are not moral creatures. Sometimes, maybe, children, your dog, he is punished by you. Well, we speak of a punishment, but we only try to get him to do what we want him to do. But he really cannot receive a true punishment because this animal does not know right from wrong. And he does not have to follow a moral law. No, he follows the law of his instinct, which is given unto him by God. It is different with you, and it is different with me, because we are moral creatures, and thus we are also liable to punishment. Is punishment necessary? Who requires that? It is justice. It is justice that requires punishment of a moral creature. And that justice is the justice of God Himself. Justice means that everyone is given his right due, and that what is coming to you or to me, that is fairly given to us. Justice. Whose responsibility is that? To carry out justice. In the first place, that lies with God Himself, because He is our Maker, because He is our Creator, because we owe to Him our life, because we have to give an account of all that He has given to us in our soul, in our body, in our life, as our Creator. And then we all have to stand before Him. Thus, in the first place, God responsible to carry out justice. God has also given that responsibility to men. He's given it to us in the first place, fathers, when He has given unto us children. Then He has made us heads of our households. that are responsible for carrying out justice, to mete it out, to mete out both reward and punishment. There is another office in this world that is given by God Himself, and that is the office of a judge. Read that in Deuteronomy 16, where the Lord says, "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with a just judgment." Thus, the Lord does set judges, an office in this world that is responsible for meting out justice, of which punishment is a part. Punishments must always fit the crime. Do the punishments, fathers, that we mete out to our children, and then also as a father gives his responsibility for meting out justice to his wife, and also to the teachers, for example, in the school, do our punishments fit the crimes which our children have committed? We read in God's word that there is a sin unto death, and there is a sin not unto death. Thus, there is a difference in sin. And then there must also be a difference in the punishment. We read, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Thus, not an eye for a tooth, and not a tooth for an eye. The Lord, He also speaks so unto His people. 40 stripes He may give him, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed, and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. Thus, what does the Lord say? The Lord says that there is also an end to punishment. You may come so far in that punishment, and you may not proceed any further. Thus, the Lord says there is a fulfillment, then at a point of that just penalty that the Lord is laying upon a man because of his sin. And what is it now that requires that punishment, the meeting out of that punishment? That is justice. But what is it now that requires that punishment to cease? That is also justice. Justice that requires the beginning. Justice that also requires an end. Thus, after a prisoner has served his term that was sentenced to him, then it is justice that requires that prisoner now be set free. And that prisoner now becomes, in the fulfillment of that sentence, right again with the law. That curse that was laid upon him, that is laying upon him no more. Then his place that is assigned unto him by justice itself, that is no longer that door that leads unto the prison, But justice now leads him to that door that leads into freedom. Thus, there are two sides. And there is not only an end to that punishment, but there are actually two sides to justice itself. Because not only does justice require the punishment in a fair manner according to that crime, but justice is also requiring a reward. What does David say? Verily, there is a reward for the righteous. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher. Death, congregation, that is an awful thing. Why do we have to die? Death is a punishment. Where did that begin? The Lord said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death, punishment, a threefold death, punishment threatened upon our first parents. And we know the history and the sad consequences of the sin of our first parents. Death. Where is now the end? Where is the end of that punishment? That is, where is the end of the punishment of death? There is none. That is a very different punishment. That is a very special punishment. Death, that is a punishment that is assigned to the very worst of the crimes that man can commit in this world, and there is no coming out of that punishment. What is the crime that must be sentenced with death? That is murder. When I will take the life of my neighbor, then there is no coming out, no release from that punishment. And what was now the punishment? When our first parents took children, they took of that fruit that the Lord commanded them that they should not eat. What was the punishment? Death. Say, that is an awful punishment. Does that punishment fit that crime? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Why? It is because of him against whom man has sinned. Who is that? That is eternal God, that is the infinite God of heaven and of earth. And because of his infinity, because of his eternity, then this is the worst of the crimes. Thus it is because of him against whom we have sinned, that every sin, whether it be the smallest thought in our mind, every sin that is sin against our Maker, and that smallest sin is now worthy of a threefold death. Where is there a coming out of this? Where is now an end to this punishment? There is none. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre. At the sepulchre, congregation, then we feel that there is no release. I saw that. I remember it when I was just a little boy. and my grandmother died. And I can still hear, because my grandfather, I remember when he said it. He said, put down the lid. And they took that lid, that great stone, and I can still hear that dull thud of that lid upon that casket. Oh, where is now the end of that punishment? And now when that heavy stone that is placed there, then we feel something of the justice of God. When that heavy stone is placed there, then we feel something about how the judge has spoken. Oh, that law, the law of God that is so unbending. Whosoever will keep the whole law and offend in one point, he is guilty of everything. Oh, that justice that is actually so simple. Justify the righteous, condemn the guilty. So simple. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That justice that is so inflexible, that is so unchangeable, death. Death then has an eternal prisoner. You say he will arise from the dead. That is right. He will arise from the dead in order that he may enter into an eternal death. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre. And now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. That brings us to the meaning of that rolled away stone, our second thought. Congregation, how was that stone now rolled away? Well, the chief priests and the scribes, they were afraid that the disciples, they were going to come and roll that stone away, take the body of the Lord Jesus, and therefore they require a watch. Do they receive it? Yes. Did those disciples come to roll away that stone? No, they did not. No, we can read in God's word how that stone was rolled away. We read that it was a mighty angel, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Who rolled it back? It was an ambassador. It was an ambassador from where? It was an ambassador from heaven. It was an ambassador who was sent by the great judge. How can that now be? It had to be. It had to be. It could not be any different. Why could it not be different? Because justice required it. Justice required it. The force of justice to let go. The force of justice to free. That is just as powerful as the force of justice to condemn. We are condemned by the law, and we are released by the law when the law, the requirements of that law are fulfilled. What does justice require? Justice requires an end to the punishment. Just as well as justice requires a beginning to the punishment. When that law is fulfilled, and then the prisoner, he is released out of the prison. Then he is set free. Then he is right with the law. Thus it had to be. Thus it is justice itself that is requiring that stone that is removed from the door of that sepulcher, and that the prisoner of death, he is set free. There is also a second reason. There is also a second reason that justice is requiring that this stone that is being taken away. And what is that second reason? Because that law that requires that a reward be given for obedience. Why? Because it was the promise of the Lord. What did the Lord say to our first parents? When they would do this, they should live. What do we read of this man? Pilate says, I find no fault in him. Pilate's wife says, have nothing to do with this just person. The thief, he says, this man had done nothing amiss. The centurion, he says, surely this was a righteous man. Say they were all men, they were all people. Yes, they were all men, they were all people. And now, God speaks. And now, the Father speaks. The Judge speaks. He speaks in heaven. He speaks as he is sitting upon the throne of his judgment. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. It is what we call by that word justification. Justification. What word is in that? That is to justify. What does that mean? Do you ever try to justify yourself? Children, young people, you have hit someone and you are asked why you hit them and you try to justify yourself. What are you trying to do? Well, you try to say that you are still right with the law because I only did it in self-defense. So what does it mean to justify? That means to show that you are right with the law. You try to justify yourself. We can try to justify ourselves. The Lord Jesus said unto the Pharisees, you are they that justify yourselves before men. But we are biased persons toward ourselves. What do we need? We need that we are justified by a judge. We need that the judge, the impartial judge, will justify us. We need that he will show that we are right with the law. And so it happened on Easter morning when the judge did speak. And when did he sent his angel to roll back that stone from the door, then he showed. Then he showed to all the world that this his son was right with the law. Thus the rolling back of that stone, that is the declaration of the Father as the judge, is that not now a great comfort to his church? Why? Because the Father is speaking, the judge is speaking. What does he say? There is no more reason to hold him in death. No more reason. Now he may go free. Justice demands his release. Did that judge not speak before? We heard it. He did. Through whom did he speak? Through the earthly judge. And what did he say? He delivered him to be crucified. Oh, that judge has spoken before. Why did he condemn him? Did he condemn him because of fault in himself? I find no fault in this man. What does Isaiah say? Isaiah speaks of the reason. For the transgression of his people was he stricken. Therefore, what is the reason that that judge has spoken so? What is the reason that that judge has sent him to that cross? What is the reason that he has punished his own son? All the iniquity of us all, Isaiah said, that is laid upon him. If that is now the reason he is laying in that grave, then what is it which has come to an end when that stone is now rolled away? What is the Father saying when he sends his angel? And he says, roll back now that stone from the door. He says, all that reason that I have condemned him to death, the sin, the iniquity of that church that I have laid upon him, that is now all paid for. And now he may come out. Thus, of whom does the Father speak when that stone is now commanded to be taken away? He speaks of his church. And it is on this morning that the Father says there is no more reason to hold that people in death. That is now the morning that the church of God is completely set free. On the Easter morning, it is the morning wherein that church is justified, shown to be right with the law in the justification of the Son of God. Here is now the release. Here is now the release of the church from prison. Here is now the release of the church from that threefold death. The release from the curse, the release from the punishment that was so justly due unto them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. What do you think, congregation? Is there no benefit to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is his death and is his resurrection without value? If there is no benefit to a person being released out of the prison, then there is no benefit to be found in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then go ahead and seek for all the benefits that are in this world. Then go ahead and walk after the ways of your own heart. Then go ahead and walk after the sight of thine eyes to seek what benefits you can find here below. But know thou that for all these things, God is going to bring you into judgment. And when you come into that judgment, then you are going to see a people who have been released from the prison. And you yourself, you will be given over unto a threefold death. What do you think, young people? Do you think that there is no joy in the life of God's children? Do you think so? If there is no joy in a prisoner who has been released out of the prison and is set free, then there is no joy in the life of God's people. It is true they have sorrow. It cannot be otherwise because they have sinned. But what we read in God's word, weeping may endure for a night, and joy that cometh in the morning. Do we also know something of that joy? Let us sing. 426. 426. 2, 4, and 5. Let's sing just 2 and 5. 2 and 5. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul by grief and sorrow riven. I turned in my distress to God in prayer. 2 and 5 of 426. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. Congregation, these women, we read they are afraid. Are you afraid too sometimes? Why? What makes you afraid? What is the cause of all your fear? Are you afraid to die? There was a time in this world that there was no fear. That was the state of innocence wherein man dwelt. A man there could walk even with God. He could dwell in the majesty of God day by day without fear. No, that is not the same as that boldness, that unholy boldness that we see by times in our day, that men are able to supposedly approach unto God. But it is missing the awe. No, there was no fear, and yet our first parents, they stood in awe of the majesty of their Maker. And then everything changed, and they started to be afraid. What happened? Sin came into the world, and they feared. And now they could not stand anymore. They did not dare to stand before that judgment seat of God. How only can that fear be taken away? That fear can only be taken away when that judge is speaking. Because when that judge will speak, and when that judge will say that we are now right with the law, when that judge will acquit a man from all his sin, then he goes out free. And then there is no fear. That is now what is contained in the engrafting into the Lord Jesus Christ. A people that are justified in His justification. And there is no more cause for them to be afraid. Say, we just read it together. These women, they are fearing. They are trembling. Why? Because they see not even God. No, they see an angel of the Lord. They come just into the edge, as it were, of the presence of the majesty of a holy and a righteous God. They fear. They tremble. Why? Are they not also one of God's people? Are they not also counted in the justification of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, there is a difference between the fact of Easter and coming to know the meaning of Easter in our own heart, in our own life. To come to know this in the court of our own conscience. The disciples and the women do not experience the meaning of Easter on the day of Easter. No, that is the day that the fact of Easter has taken place for that whole church of God unto the end of the world. But it was different in the hearts of the disciples. Because when that judge is acquitting his people in the court of their conscience, then their state is sure. What is our state? Our state is our relationship to that law. It is either guilty or innocent or acquitted. One or the other. And when that judge is speaking, then the state of the people that is sure. And when this judge is speaking in the court of their own conscience, then he removes the fear. Paul says they are delivered from the curse of the law. Then the curse is no more pursuing that people. Are they then ever sad? Oh, yes, they are often sad. But sad and afraid are two different things. They have no more cause to fear. But indeed, they remain sad. Why? Because they carry with them to the end of their life a body of sin and a body of death. Oh, wretched man that I am. And it will not go away, not until this corruption is putting on incorruption. And this mortality is putting on immortality. Oh, the Lord Jesus, not only the Lord Jesus, a triune God. He is doing everything. He is taking care of everything in these days for the salvation, for the comfort of His church. His church does not realize what is happening. They are ignorant of what is taking place. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? From their side, they sought the dead. In their ignorance, in their despondency, in all their discouragement, they were seeking the dead. And they brought spices. And when they will place those spices on that body, what will they do? They will for themselves seal their own condemnation. They will seal, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ in death. They will embalm his body. Christ's death, that was their death. Why? They thought that it would have been him who would have redeemed Israel. But they were wrong. And now in that moment, they receive another message. In that moment, they receive a message that they had never expected. What is the message? It is the message of life. It is a message of life over against death. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not dead. He is alive. And though their understanding of those women that is so small, yet they taste something. Do they not? It had to be. Do they not now taste something? Because if his death was their eternal death. What is his life? What is his life? Is that now not also their own life? And when they cannot say for themselves that that judge has spoken, or do they not in that moment still experience something of that life over against death? Thus the Lord is not a land of outer darkness for his people, even when they do not experience those highest steps of grace, but he has made step by step wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption for his people. Congregation, we are condemned. We are condemned, all of us. By what? By that law. Do you read it? Read it. That is what is going to be at the judgment seat when we appear there. It condemns us in thought, in word, and in deed. Do you ever feel something of that justice? Do you ever feel something of the inflexibility of that law of God? Will not change. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Are you a soul that sinneth? You shall die. Do you feel that death? Do you feel that great stone that is at your heart, that you are not able to remove and to give yourself life? Regeneration, what is that? That is a fruit that is coming from the life of Christ, from the resurrection of Christ. No, it is not the knowledge of justification, that is not regeneration, but it is a fruit that is coming out of Easter. Will you not now ask the Lord? Say, Lord, it is Easter, and thy Son, he has risen from the dead. And the price, that awful price for the sin of thy people, that is paid. Thou didst command that the stone would be rolled away. Or wilt thou also give me life, life from the dead? There is no greater deliverance that is experienced by the true church of God than when they may experience for themselves that meaning of Easter in the court of their own conscience. Why? Because there is nothing so comfortable as being released from the prison and to be set free. It is not so well known by very many of God's children that they are forgiven all their sins. That is now the meaning of Easter, not so well known, but also people of the Lord not so much sought after either. Oh, this is now what will make your death comfortable. Why? Because it will make your death a passage into eternal life. And yet, there will be not one of the people, not one of the people, not the smallest beginner in that life of grace that may not come to these highest steps. There will not be one of the people that will be disappointed. Mark, he writes about those women, and they are on their way to the grave. And now that stone, when they were on the way to the grave, that stone that is entering into their mind again, who shall roll us away, the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Did you ever ask that question? Who shall roll away the stone? And there is a people. They're going to the sepulchre. You're going there too, and I. But it is a people with love in their heart. Love. The love of those women. And with that love in their heart, they are coming closer and closer to that sepulchre. To death, to their own death. And as they come closer and closer, then that stone, that justice, that inflexible justice, that is coming more and more into the foreground. Is that so also in your life? And they do not know. They do not know because they have never heard it yet out of the mouth of the judge. And time, like an ever-rolling stream that is going on, and they come closer and closer. Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of that sepulchre? And that people, with that love in their heart, all they are going to experience what those women experienced. What did they experience? When they came to the sepulchre, and when they were there, and then they looked. And they saw that the stone was rolled away. For it was very great. And that is now the people that will experience the truth of the words of the Lord Jesus. What did he say? He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, each and every one of us, soul for soul, will stand at thy judgment seat. And there is not one, young or old, that will be accepted. Oh, how shall we stand there? Wilt thou give us a true concern that we may also know the voice of that judge, that he has spoken, and that we are included in the justification of thy dear Son, oh Lord? That this may be the fruit of this hour, of this day, of thy Sabbath day, of thy resurrection. Forgive all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. 139, 3 through 6. Our God shall surely come, nor silence shall he keep. Devouring flame shall herald him, about him storms shall sweep. 3 through 6 of 139. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.